It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We are the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. Everybody listening on ESPN 1320 AM on the radio, good morning. Hi, hello. We appreciate you, everyone, watching on YouTube and Twitch and in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Salute, hello, and we appreciate most of you. What else am I missing? The James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show podcast. If you're a podcast listener, it's this show in podcast form. Subscribe wherever you get your pods, even if you don't plan on listening to it. Just subscribe. That helps us out with the big bosses, the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. Again, that's available wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app. Favorite ESPN 1320, and you can listen to the Insiders, Andy Lowe and KC, and a ton of other content live around the world, wherever you are.
There it is.
So the Kings secured the 9 seed. They did it. And we'll get into that. They play the Mavericks here at Golden 1 Center, what we long suspected would be the outcome of this season. But some news in the NBA this morning. Number one, Mike Budenholzer was fired by the Suns.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Did not see that coming
crazy
at all.
Crazy that this has happened to the Phoenix Suns. I don't know. I have never been more sure a coach was going to be fired.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like the writing was so on the wall.
What a disaster that season was. And on top of the season being a disaster, because I heard Austin Rivers and Pasha Higgy, who do a podcast together called Off Guard. It's very, very good. Pasha on that podcast said, if you had told me the Suns would be either the 1 seed or the 11 seed before the year, I would have said the 1 seed and not given it a second thought.
Yeah.
And I'm right there. When you add Tyus Jones, you go, okay, you got that many games out of Kevin Durant, that many games out of Bradley Beal, that many games out of Devin Booker. You have Tyus Jones. Are they going to get Nick Richards midseason? Like, oh, man, they got Royce O'Neal, kid from Duke that I can never remember his name, Grayson Allen.
Yeah, Plumlee.
Got one of the Plumlees. Okay, they went to the 1 seed. Cool. They put it all together. No, the 11 seed. So it made sense that Mike Budenholzer's out of there. And I originally wrote, man, the Kings should give him a look. Mike Budenholzer, championship-winning coach? Like, yeah, if you're going to do interviews this offseason, which I think they should, if you're going to interview some coaches this offseason, I think you have to bring in Coach Budenholzer. Like, that's just a quality name. But then our guy John Gambadaro from Arizona Sports 98.7 tweeted this, and John Gambadaro has been in Arizona radio for 30 years, super plugged in with the Suns. The Suns specifically. Very, very plugged in. Wrote this on Twitter. Not usually a fire the coach guy, but this guy was a disaster and needed to go. There was no way he could have come back. I do not know of one person in the organization that liked dealing with him. Ego was just too big. Coached like he wanted to be fired. I'm out.
Yeah, that's wild.
I want nothing to do with that person anymore.
And like, look, they gave him a 5-year $50 million deal. So they're just eating $40 million over the next 4 years. And they gave Frank Vogel like a very similar contract the year before, fired him after 1 year, a 5-year deal. So they will have 3 years of overlap where they are at least paying two coaches plus the coach that they have.
Insane.
And that coach may not last 3 years.
Insane. Whatever the Suns are doing, whatever Matt Ishbia is doing, because he has made it very clear, no, he's a very rich person.
Yeah.
And said, I'm going to be a very rich person, and I'm going to dump as much money as I can into this basketball program. It's included firing two coaches in 2 years.
Yep.
For Devin Booker, their star player, this will be his 8th coach. I saw this from Shane Young, who covers the NBA for Forbes. This will be his 8th coach in 11 seasons.
That's crazy.
What? I don't... What a mess, dude. Kevin Durant's probably going to want out. Does Devin Booker ask out?
Maybe.
Can you afford to keep Devin Booker even if he doesn't ask out?
Can you find some way to get rid of Bradley Beal?
Probably not.
Probably not. They're going to try.
They're definitely going to try.
I mean, I guess Matt Ishbia has like so much money. Like, all right, just stretch provision him.
Yeah, why not?
You owe him 100 mil. You know, just push that out over 5 years, 20 million a year off your salary cap. Okay.
Given the apparent energy drain that he is in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
That would probably be worth it. It's an insane amount of money,
mm-hmm.
but so is the tax bill that you're going to pay. And so is the tax bill you're going to pay compared to the number of games you're liable to win over the next 3 or 4 years. Like, the Suns were a team that when Matt Ishbia came in and was like, I'm going to make these splash moves. I'm going to do everything I can to... I was like, man, like the Suns might be a problem for a while in the West. They have an owner that wants to win and has a ton of money. And he's just driven the car into a ditch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Suns are now the opposite of a problem moving forward. They're a disaster.
Yeah, I also, like, I think the problem is that, again, coaching salaries are not part of the salary cap. So he can just cycle through coaches like this all he wants. Just throw money at it.
Yeah.
I guess that's like a plan. But, you know, it used to be Sacramento is very well known for you get a 4-year contract, you have to work 2 of them, and then you get fired for the last 2.
Sure.
It's like, you know, when you go to the grocery store and they have like Lay's brand potato chips on sale,
mm-hmm.
where it's like $4.50 for one bag. But if you buy 3 bags, it's only $8. You're like, oh, well, I'm getting 3 bags.
I'm losing money if I don't buy 3 bags.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So the Suns have now taken over. Now you get a 5-year contract and you only have to work 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So you just pay that guy $50 million to coach 1 year and it like drive you right into a ditch, like you said.
Man.
I mean, you're the 11th seed in the Western Conference. I mean, you didn't even make the play-in.
Missed the play-in. Couldn't be a top 10 team in the West with that roster. They had the highest tax bill in the league, right?
Oh, I assume so, or it's got to be close. Yeah.
Yuck. What a bad place to be in. Kings not in a great spot. Suns in a much, much worse spot. Elsewhere around the NBA this morning, David Griffin, the lead executive for the New Orleans Pelicans, also used to be a lead executive with the Cleveland Cavaliers, was fired. That is a person that I could see Vivek Ranadive, assuming that the Kings move on from Monty McNair. That's a person, David Griffin, who I could see the Kings having a lot of interest in.
Yeah, I agree. You should have some interest in him. I think he did a really good job with the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's done a particularly great job with the
Pelicans.
Pelicans.
I think he has.
You think?
I think Zion can't stay healthy.
Okay.
I think DeJounte Murray got hurt this year and it derailed them. But you look at Herb Jones. You look at Dyson Daniels, who I know they traded. Trey Murphy. Eve Meesey is going to be first team All NBA this year. They found
all rookie first team.
Sorry, all rookie first team. You're right. Sorry,
yeah.
All rookie first team. Although weird draft class, so not as maybe significant as it might be in other years. But they found Jose Alvarado. Like, I think they've actually done kind of a nice job over the last 6 years of accumulating talent.
No, you're right. They also Najee Marshall. They have there
Najee Marshall. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they have a. You're right. They have found a lot of talent.
And they're tall and athletic.
Long, athletic.
Dude, that's it. No, you just like I said, I'm not saying that would be a slam dunk, like you have to hire that guy. He needs to be in the building for an interview.
No, I'm with you. Now that you kind of laid out like the talent, mm-hmm. I mean, they haven't reached whatever level they were supposed to reach, but I also think it's one of those weird situations where they've decided to allow the next general manager to make the decision on Willie Green, the head coach. I don't get that at all. Because, like, typically in these situations, Willie Green would be part of the interview process. Like, if you're a coach that's there,
mm-hmm.
it'd be like, so what are you going to do? Hey, Willie, we got an interview coming in. I want you to shut the door. You're not allowed to come out. Like,
very odd.
What
very
are you doing here?
Situation.
And then see if they want to work with you or not. I mean, that's just like, hey, we're going to offer you a job, but on your first day, we're going to need you to make a decision on whether you're going to fire Bob over there or not.
Right. Like, do you think Willie Green's a good coach or not? That's the end. If he is, then you're hiring a GM and going, yeah, hey, this is the coach. And you're hiring, like you just said, that GM around. Does he and the coach kind of see basketball the same way?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that at all. If you're on the fence on Willie Green, then yeah, just get him out of there.
Well, then if you're firing the GM, just, you know, go ahead and take care of business. I mean, it is what it is.
Right. Right.
Now,
just clean house.
Why is that different than the Sacramento situation? Well, first up, Doug Rusty led you at least to the play-in.
Yeah.
So he's also like a franchise legend. I mean, Willie Green is not really a franchise legend in New Orleans.
I wouldn't say so, no.
No. So I don't know. This is a weird situation, but there's a lot of them, mm-hmm. like in today's NBA. And I don't know how this situation or the Kings situation will end up in the end.
Willie Green went 36-46 in his first year. And they made the playoffs? That's a weird thing. So they made the playoffs.
Okay.
Got ousted in six games. They go 42-40 the next year. Then they went 49-33 last year and, of course, got swept in the first round. And then this year, the wheels came off and they went 21-61 because everybody got hurt. To me, I'm moving forward with that guy, but that's neither here nor there.
You're okay with Willie Green as your head coach?
I'm fine with Willie Green as my head coach.
I just don't know that you can take the next step.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you're going to fire that guy, then just fire him now. When you get rid of the GM, just get rid of the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really weird situation.
Very, very strange.
And we're not done. I mean, I think that there's going to be a bunch more head coaches that are fired. And we've already seen two head coaches fired, like, leading up to this. Yeah. And then you can add in Mike Brown earlier in the season.
Yeah.
So there's three interim head coaches right now, mm-hmm. that are still coaching going into the postseason, whether it's play-in or playoffs.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, like, two jobs or, well, at least one job just opened. But I think, you know, Nick Nurse is a guy that I think people around the league are thinking, mm-hmm. probably won't be back.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple other teams that are looking at getting rid of their coaches too. We don't know what's going to happen with Popovich. It's going to be an interesting summer for coaching changes.
Yeah. Chauncey Billups in Portland, do they keep rolling forward with him?
He got an extension.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Okay. That I missed. Shout out. Good. That's the right thing to do. They're moving in, whether you think they're moving in a positive direction fast enough or whatever is a different story, but
mm-hmm.
they're moving, the Portland Trailblazers are very clearly moving in a direction. They played hard down the stretch this year and probably won more games than they wanted to win.
No, very true.
So yeah. I think if you have a guy like that who's establishing that culture, you don't fire him because, like, hey, you won too many games. That's silly to me. Shout out to Portland for sticking with the lane.
Yeah.
Love that for them.
And I also think, you know, when you're building a young nucleus, right, you want to give them stability. There mm-hmm. will come a point where you're going to have to make a decision on whether Chauncey Billups is a good enough coach to get you to the second round or the third round of the playoffs, right? But we're so far away from that. What you need right now for all of these young players that they have is stability to build something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Willie Green, that's where I'm kind of like, hey, you've had your 4 years here, whatever it is, and your team isn't super young anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, Portland is much younger than the Pelicans.
Sure, for sure.
So, like, where are you going with this build?
Yeah.
So.
And that's where I say if you're out on Willie Green, or like you said, not going to take the next step. Like, maybe if they're healthy next year, he can get them into that 49-50 win range. But are you winning a title with them? If you think your roster is there and the coach just isn't, okay, cool. But then get rid of him now. Just hang on to him.
Yeah.
Weird situation.
Totally bizarre.
Sunday was incredible. There was basketball all day.
Mm-hmm.
We had baseball on all day. We had the Masters going on. Salute to Rory McIlroy for closing out the Masters for his first green jacket. He gets a career grand slam. I got to tell you, in golf, I'm not going to break down golf here, but I just want to talk about, like, the mental side of sports. One of the things that separates good golfers from bad ones at the level that these guys play is not like who's hitting the best shots, because they all hit shots into the trees, right? And they're all good at scrambling. They're all good at getting up. It's, can you bounce back when you start your day with a quadruple bogey and you start the day up, whatever it was, three strokes, and after two holes, you're down a stroke, and then after four holes, you're back up. Like, managing that emotion and being able to stand over the ball and continue playing good golf.
Yep.
And then double bogeying. I think I said quadruple bogeying. I meant double. Double bogeying 13.
Mm.
And losing this comfortable lead that you, it's like you were coasting. Double bogeying 13. And being able to get back on the horse and play good enough golf to win. And then smoking that putt on 18.
Yeah.
To send it to a playoff. And then winning in the play. Bro, the mental fortitude from Rory McIlroy yesterday was a feat. Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, he put himself through the ringer. So yeah,
right. There are so many points where it's like, oh, he's done. He's collapsing. Like Jordan Spieth did that at the Masters. Had the was it 2015? Whatever it was. And he dunked the two in the water. We've not heard from Jordan Spieth since.
Yeah.
He was the dude. Like 23 years old or whatever he was. And then just collapsed.
Yeah, David Duvall, like, yep. Was a great golfer and then was not a great golfer.
Yep.
Like, gone.
Yep. I was certain. I was like, we're watching this happen to Rory right now. We might never hear from Rory again. And then he wins the Masters. What a guy. Incredible day.
Yeah.
Kings won yesterday. They secured their spot in the play-in at Golden 1 Center against the Dallas Mavericks. We'll dive into that matchup. The Golden State Warriors' epic game against the Los Angeles Clippers, but Golden State also in the play-in. I told everybody a couple months ago, just buckle up. We got Warriors-Kings part two coming. Part three. Season on the line. This is what we got, guys. Everyone get ready for it. But we'll talk about that game and what's ahead in the play-in starting tomorrow. That's James Hamm. That's Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. And this is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Y'all, the NBA playoffs is like the best time to sign up for Underdog because there's a ton of games. And like I said, you start to watch a series and you start to get into patterns and you start to really see like, okay, I'm going to make a lineup that I feel great about tonight because you know who's playing, you know what the matchups look like, and it makes Underdog's daily fantasy that much more fun. But check out what they're doing for the playoffs. They're doing these bonus tokens, so you get a game one boost, a profit boost token of 40%. They continue boosting each subsequent game as long as you use that 40% profit boost token. Game two, you get a 50% profit boost token.
Oh.
Game three, 60%, all the way up to 100% profit boost token if the series goes to seven games. So that's like doubling your money.
Oh.
If you win with your lineup. So now's the time to jump in on Underdog. Their daily fantasy pick'em game is super easy. You pick higher or lower on at least two player stats. And then you can win up to 1,000 times your entry. Their app has over 100,000 five-star reviews, millions of players. I'm one of them, and you should join me. Download the Underdog app and sign up now with promo code KYLEM, that's K-Y-L-E-M, to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. That's promo code KYLEM, K-Y-L-E-M. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/extend.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You know better than to sidetrack me. I have this memory of Tracy McGrady playing for the Spurs. It's not a thing that happened. You were absolutely correct.
Well, hang on.
But somebody played.
No, he did. He played for the Spurs in the playoffs.
Right. Okay, thank you. Right, because he got in and he went to the second round with the Spurs.
Yes.
But... and it was like a big deal that Tracy McGrady.
He never played a regular season game for the Spurs.
Yes. Okay. Huh.
Whew. Okay, so
that was really gonna bother me.
Crisis averted.
That was gonna be my double bogey on 13.
Okay, so here's the crazy. He played. Tracy McGrady played for the Raptors, the Magic, the Rockets, the Knicks. He played 72 games in the 2010-11 season for the Detroit Pistons, And then he finished with the Atlanta Hawks. And then he played in another pro league during the 12-13 season, but he played for the Spurs in the playoffs.
So if I'm remembering correctly, yes. Okay, this is what I was remembering. He checked in garbage time of two blowouts in that series, and it was like this big thing because, oh, look, Tracy McGrady is playing in the finals.
Oh.
For the first time in his career. That's what I very vividly remembered. And if that didn't happen, I was going to lose my mind.
He did.
Oh, God. Thank God.
Yeah, he played a couple of games here and there. I mean, he played like a total of, I don't know, 10, 17, 25, 32 minutes in the whole playoff run. Mm. Yeah. Intriguing. I don't know, like, how did we
shout
get on
out
that?
To T-Mac.
Oh, because someone was asking about Kevin Durant. Well, you think about Kevin Durant differently.
No. Carmelo Anthony, same deal. Played for a bunch of teams.
Yeah. I mean, people forget Patrick Ewing played for the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah, and the Magic.
Hakeem Olajuwon played for the Toronto Raptors. Yeah.
The only reason I remember that is because people bring it up constantly on the internet.
Mm.
Like when a player, a veteran, signs somewhere random, and there's a photo of Hakeem in a Raptors jersey playing against Patrick Ewing in a Magic jersey, and it just looks
weird.
It looks very odd, and they both look so old.
You know, Pat's still around the game. I think he came through with, was it the Knicks? Is either the Knicks or Charlotte, one of the two. It's possible he's on the Knicks coaching staff. He's just not nearly as tall as he was when he was a player.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He is not. He is one player that has, like, shrunk. Yeah, definitely.
Now he's only like 6'10.
Yeah, I would say like 6'8, 6'9, maybe 6'10. But, you know.
When Patrick Ewing played for the Orlando Magic, he was a year younger than LeBron James is right now.
Oh.
When he was averaging 6 points and 4 boards for the Magic. Anyways. Aging, am I right?
Yeah.
So the Kings finally took care of business yesterday. They beat the Phoenix Suns. Even if they hadn't, though, Dallas lost handily to the Memphis Grizzlies. So the Kings were going to be hosting the play-in either way. We knew it was a long shot that they would go on the road for the play-in. But now we know for sure they've secured the 9 seed. They'll face the Dallas Mavericks at Golden 1 Center. Real quick on yesterday's game, did that feel like the California Classic to anyone else by the second half? It was like Zach LaVine hit all those threes to pull away. Suns pulled their starters, quote unquote. Doug emptied the bench for the Kings. And then it was just, it's a lot of Isaac Jones.
You know what? We got to the end of it. We were talking about it this morning. And like it's almost like it never really dawned on me who the Kings played yesterday. Like, because none of their starters were there.
Nameless, faceless team.
Yeah, I mean, that's... And Doug Christie talks about the nameless, faceless team, that the Kings' real opponent is themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's... That's what they have to figure out, what their identity is. But if you told me that, like, I covered Mike Budenholzer's last game as a head coach of the Phoenix Suns, I would have been like, really? I did? That never even dawned on me. This morning when he gets fired, it's like... Oh, he got fired after he left Sacramento. Okay. Just weird because that game did not feel like an NBA game at all.
It was such a straight... Because the Kings were ostensibly playing for something. Sort of.
Yeah.
But it never... I think it's partly because I knew... Or I had a very strong inkling Dallas wasn't going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know Dallas is going to lose, it's like, this game doesn't really matter. But then, like, it's close, and it's a three-point game at halftime, and it's like, is this bad? Should I be killing the Kings for this? Or do they understand what we all understand, and that this game doesn't it doesn't really matter? Because you can look at the scoreboard up in the corner of the arena, and you go, oh, the Mavs are down 40. All right, well... I think just a very, very strange vibe. I took nothing away from that yesterday.
No.
Zach LaVine's good at putting the ball in the basket. Like, yeah, we know. I learned nothing about the Kings yesterday. I don't care that it was close at halftime. They were taken yesterday off.
The only thing I took from it was that Jonas Valanciunas can dunk with flair. I did not expect him to dunk with the hand behind his head and throw it down.
So silly.
Like, spectacular. And for him to put up 20 and 10, you're like, okay.
For him.
Yeah. It was at least fun. I don't know. We had the blimp situation. Did you catch that?
No.
So, they send around a blimp. It's a small, it's probably like 6 or 8 feet long.
Yeah, yeah.
And it drops stuff down to the crowd, right? Well, it goes and it drops like 3 or 4, like, I don't even know what they're giving away.
The Chick-fil-A cows?
Well, but it was, they weren't doing Chick-fil-A. It was something else they were giving away.
Okay.
So it's in the lower bowl during a timeout. And then all of a sudden it veers up and goes upstairs. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think it could go up. I didn't know that it could fit. And like start dropping stuff. Well, then it careens into the crowd, starts like people are like shoving it, like, oh my gosh, the blimp is hitting people, which it didn't look like it was going to hurt anybody. But then it gets shoved off the second deck and then it starts to fall and it like falls right in front of us and they can't, it's in it like a death spiral on its way down. They can't get it to like pull up in time and it hits people in the lower deck. Who are waiting for like a coupon to drop down. So it goes down and then all of a sudden people are trying to grab it. They're trying to like figure it out. And then I think the guy who's running the remote control, he comes down to try to reset it. Let's go of it. Bye-bye. Floats right to the ceiling. All the way up to the ceiling. And then it's stuck in the ceiling in the middle of the game. So we had this like ridiculous moment with a giant like in arena blimp type hover device.
That's perfect.
It was actually
that's just such a perfect Kings thing to happen.
Yeah.
I love that so much. I hope the blimp doesn't go away. I hope that wasn't it for the blimp.
They should have brought back is it Phantom View?
The fan view?
Fan view
or Fan cam?
Fan cam. They should have brought that back for yesterday, too.
1,000%. Why not?
It would have been like
game
a perfect.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
You know how the play-in games don't exist?
Yeah.
That's this game, too.
There we go.
Just did. It's just.
Well, they did. Sure, I told you the one time they did the kicks cam.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, I literally tweeted out, like, hey, why would you have a kicks cam which just shows everybody in the building and everywhere else that no one is sitting in the seat in front of anyone?
Right.
Which means the building is half empty. So people are putting their shoes up on the seat in front of them, like, oh, the kicks cam. It's like, okay. It's like,
not a good idea.
Not a great idea.
This is an own goal is what we call that. I would like a vibe check on the Kings. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia Talk On. And, of course, if you're in the chatty house, I would love to hear from you there. What's the vibe? And Joe, you can jump in on this, too. Is it excitement? Is it hopeful? Is it like, meh, like whatever? Is it what's the vibe for you right now,
Jim? Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially in my friend group too. Generally,
what are the young people saying?
Okay, I got you. Yeah. So we're excited. Don't get me wrong. Like, we want to win. I want a play-in game. Especially for younger fans like us, we don't get to experience things like this.
Sure.
So even though it is the play-in, we're still excited. I was talking about going to the game on Wednesday with my buddies and whatnot.
As you should.
And I still have optimism. You know, I really liked what you guys said about how this team is kind of, or I believe it was Kenny, and you guys were quoting Kenny, how this team is kind of built for that slow, grindy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have optimism for this team. Normally I have optimism for a lot of things.
No doubt.
But as far as I'm concerned, man, I'm just excited. We're going to get to keep playing basketball.
Sure.
And then we're going to go from there. So I'd say the vibes are a little bit above neutral. They're trending upwards.
Okay. Yeah. Above neutral and trending
upwards. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what the young people are saying.
There you go.
Okay. This is how I would describe them, or at least the way that I look at the people that are around the team and everything.
The vibes are the young people.
The vibes.
Got it.
Okay. The vibes are this. everyone just kind of expects the Kings to thump the Mavericks. Now, that may or may not happen, but that's kind of the expectation, that it's like, got a tune-up game coming on Wednesday, and then the real game will happen on Friday against whatever opponent that is, whether it's the Warriors or the Memphis Grizzlies.
Uh-huh.
So I think that that's kind of the over, like if they lose on Wednesday, it would be a continuation of the same exact season of yo-yo, like can't put a finger on who this team is, and it just made perfect sense. But if they win on Wednesday, you're like, okay, one game to prove that the other 82 weren't a fluke.
Sure.
Or that you are who we thought you are.
They've been playing in, like I said, I'm throwing yesterday out. They've been playing pretty well, though, the last five games. And if they put that together, then yeah, to me, this Mavs game is sort of that. If they're playing well, they're not going to lose to the Dallas Mavericks. The problem is...
Oh, no. I start getting really scared when we start talking like this.
Right. But the problem is if they play well, but do we have any evidence, any reason to believe, like, yes, they are for sure going to go in and play well?
No.
Well, I mean, you said they played really well in the last five games, and they're 3-2.
No doubt. But I thought they played. I thought they played pretty well against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
There were some moments in that game that weren't great, but overall, I didn't think they played poorly against Denver.
Yeah.
And then the Clippers game was there for the taking as well.
You lose by one.
The Clippers did nothing to dispel my thought that they're right below a tier two team in the West.
Yeah.
Just below OKC. They did nothing to dispel that for me yesterday. And they did nothing to dispel that in the Kings game. I thought the Kings just played well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the Clippers are hard to score on sometimes, and I think the Kings ran into that. So if they continue doing all the things we constantly talk about when they play well, it's ball movement, it's that hounding defense where they're getting hands in passing lanes and they're generating turnovers and they're taking care of the basketball. Like when they do all those little things, it's like, man, this is a really good team. Zach LaVine leading the way, pick and roll with Domantas Sabonis, or dribble handoff game with Domantas Sabonis. It's a little bit of DeMar DeRozan here and there. It's Keon Ellis knocking down a three. It's Trey Lyles grabbing a big rebound. It's Keegan Murray getting a big defensive stop. It's like, all right, I see the vision. But, like, who's to say DeMar DeRozan doesn't bog everything down tomorrow and put up 30 shots and shoot the Kings out of it, or on Wednesday?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how to put, like, there is no finger on the pulse with this team.
Nope.
At all. Like, and if someone thinks that they know what's going to happen, you're sorely mistaken, because they will prove to you that whatever you thought was going to happen is not what's going to happen.
Right.
So I wouldn't be shocked if the Kings blew out the Mavericks on Wednesday. I think mm-hmm. they're a better team.
I'm with you.
I also wouldn't be shocked if the Kings lose by 25. I just wouldn't. Like, this team, the way that they're playing, like, one night they're great, another night they're like, you can see what's going to happen, though, like, early on. There is no, like, oh, look, they figured it out, and now they're way better than they were.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think they're going to lose by 25, because I don't think this version of Dallas is capable of beating anybody by 25.
Okay.
Or excuse, I shouldn't say anybody. Not capable of beating the Kings by 25. But that's semantics. The Kings losing this game where they just never really have control of it.
Yeah.
Is very much on the table. I just don't think Dallas has enough healthy pieces to blow a team out by 25.
No, I get that, but that Anthony Davis can go nuts. Klay Thompson can hit a bunch of threes, although he hasn't been that great, you know, for a while. PJ Tucker, Washington, mm-hmm. like, he can bust you up. Like,
No doubt.
And I think the other interesting thing that we haven't even, like, Malik Monk will not play in this game.
Yeah.
And Jake LaRavia will not play in this game. Like, he won't be there either. Yeah. So we don't even really consider what the Kings... we've gotten so used to Malik Monk not being here over the last, like, two mm-hmm. weeks, 3 weeks, that it's almost like a afterthought that Malik isn't going to be there, and how much that usually changes for the Kings.
Well, right. But you and I talked about this a little bit last week, and then I was talking about it with Jake Aiden yesterday on CBS 13, and... No, no. Yeah. Okay. We're just wrapping
humble break.
No, I was talking to Jake yesterday and talking about how the DeMar DeRozan move was the insulation from a Malik Monk injury.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you and I are on the same page that, man, if Malik doesn't get hurt, they probably go to the playoffs. Like, they're probably the sixth seed and they're in the playoffs, right? So when they signed DeRozan or they traded for DeRozan, you're going, man, now if Malik goes down, you have that additional shot maker, that additional creator, that additional scorer.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is he's been a singular force offensively. All of that is to say, like, you lose Malik Monk and that stinks. You'd rather have him than not have him. But I think this Kings team in particular is equipped to withstand that loss.
Yeah.
And if you need Malik Monk's energy in a one and done play in game, you got a different problem.
No, but you probably need Malik Monk's talent. I mean, and especially in the second of those one and duns. If you do get to the second one, that's where, you know, every bit of talent you can throw out on the court is a good thing.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we'll keep talking about this. We've got a couple days to break down this Kings and Mavs matchup. We'll take a look at an incredible game at Chase Center yesterday between the Warriors and the Clippers. We'll take a look at the East playing games, the West playing games. Very different vibe in the East and West. We'll talk about that as well. James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. That is Joe Brazil. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. We're the Insiders, and this is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is over there. I'm Kyle. That's Joe. If you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, where when the radio goes to breaks, we just kind of hang out. If you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, not breaking news, it was happening. Very, very, like, not even going to peel the curtain back because it would bore you to tears. Radio stuff.
Yeah.
That we were dealing with. So nothing crazy. Nothing happening. That's one of the, I don't want to say pitfalls, but that's one of the dangers of doing a show and being friends with James is, like, when the mics go off, there could be real stuff. When you look at your phone mid-show and then you start texting, I'm like, what do you got, dog?
Uh-oh.
And sometimes you're like, oh, it's my wife. Or, oh, my kid forgot his
Yeah, I can't quite lunch. See from over here. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
No,
you got it?
I can't. No, I don't
nothing?
Know what's going on. Not
nah.
really, no.
Nah. Right. No.
What are you going to do, you know? Did you get to catch any of the Warriors-Clippers game yesterday?
No.
First thing, Jonathan Kuminga played 0 minutes.
Yeah, it's wild.
Fascinating. For a team that needs shot creation, insane that he didn't play. But anyways, we'll talk Golden State if and when they play the Kings in the play-in. The Clippers are a damn problem, bro. I don't think enough people are realizing this.
I think you...
I don't think...
I agree.
Because I get it. I get why, if you hear Clippers, you'd be out on them.
Mm-hmm.
I fully understand. You look at Kawhi Leonard's injury history, you look at James Harden's history in the postseason, and you're just kind of like, don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden is playing outstanding basketball right now and doesn't have to shoulder as much of the load as he used to through these 82-game seasons where he'd gas out in the playoffs. And frankly, the Warriors used to say this all the time. The James Harden Rockets were easy to defend because you knew exactly what they were going to do. James Harden was just such a force of nature that he was going to get his 30 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was just a thing that was going to happen. But you knew exactly what they wanted to do. They don't have that same hang up with the Clippers because now you have this cyborg basketball computer, Kawhi Leonard, who's still a really good defender, maybe not the elite defender that he was, but still an outstanding defender who can get to his spot whenever he wants and can hit any shot on the floor whenever he wants. You can't leave him open from three. It's really hard to contest him in the mid-range because it's such just a big, wide body. We see DeMar DeRozan do that in the mid-range where he just is so good at creating space and getting a shot off. That's Kawhi. And now they have that 1-2 punch with him and James Harden, with Derek Jones, with Chris Dunn at the point, causing havoc defensively. Bogdan Bogdanovic coming off the bench. Ivica Zubats looks like an all-NBA guy this year. Mm-hmm. All of the pieces make sense. And then you watch a player like, dude, it was probably 15 straight possessions yesterday where it was just easy, just finding easy buckets. And then defensively, they're so good. Love them. Really good team.
Yeah. Like when I look at, it's funny when you're talking about Kawhi, mm-hmm. when I watch him play, he does some of the same things that I've seen from DeMar DeRozan, except for he doesn't get to the foul line nearly as much because he's not doing the pump fake thing. But what he is now is he gets wherever he wants on the floor.
Yep.
And then he hits just a laser, and he hits it almost every time, it feels like.
I don't understand the physics, because it's like he throws a line drive that's below the rim, but it goes in.
Yeah, it's a really, really strange jumper, but it's so refined. And again, like DeMar, like for the most part, it goes in all the time. Like he's shooting 49.8% from the field and 41.1% from three. The difference that I have with the two, number one, DeMar plays every game. Mm-hmm. For the most part. I mean, DeMar mm-hmm. played, 75 games, whatever it is this season. But also that Kawhi Leonard plays defense. Yeah. And not only does he play defense, but he is your defensive leader on the court when he's mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest difference. They're both, you know, one's 33, one's 35. Mm-hmm. They're both like in the twilight of their careers. But if you can get a healthy Kawhi Leonard through the playoffs... And maybe that's why he only played, 37 games this year, whatever
it
is.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
Yeah, it is, 37. If you can get him healthy all the way through, and then you start mixing in Derek Jones Jr. hitting three, like, at a super high clip, Norman Powell becoming, like...
Powell, I didn't even mention Norman Powell.
Like, an exceptional, like, version of himself that I did not think he would ever get to. I mean, like him going to the hoop is like Desmond Bain going to the hoop.
Yeah.
Like he just sheds tacklers the whole way. So I think he's been great. And then Zubats, again, Zubats has become, like, advanced statistics wise, one of the best big men in the league. And so just really, really interesting stuff. We do have some weird breaking news. I want to bring it up though, really quick. According to Shams Charania, Hall of Famer Joe Dumars, former Kings legend, is a serious front runner to become the lead basketball executive with the New Orleans Pelicans. Sources tell ESPN. The 2003 Executive of the Year and 2004 Championship exec with the Pistons is a Louisiana native. Dumars is currently heading up the NBA basketball ops. I bring this up because I got to be honest. I heard Joe Dumars mentioned with the Sacramento Kings this weekend again. Which
I'm sorry.
Like, as a potential front office person for the Sacramento Kings. And
like
so
an, like in an advi- or to be the like in an advisor role or in the Monty McNair out Joe Dumars in role.
Like who knows, because I keep hearing different names thrown in. Cool. You know, first we've heard Scott Perry, we've heard Vlade Divac, we've heard, you know, Peja's hanging around the team more all of a sudden again. But Joe Dumars' name came out of left field, and it looks like, as of right now, that there's a possibility that they're finalizing a deal. According to Shams, the Pelicans and Dumars are expected to engage in conversations to finalize a deal by the end of the week. So that was a potential, you know, weird, because the dynamic when Joe Dumars was here was always strange. They had, like, this weird triangle where Vivek was at the top of the triangle, and then Joe Dumars was on one side, and then Vlade Monty McNair and his people were on the other side. So anything that Monty and his people wanted to do would go to Vivek, and Vivek would then go counsel with Joe Dumars. So there was this weird triangle, except for the bottom, like, crossbar of the triangle never
it was more like
communicated.
Like an upside down V?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So something like that. Huh. Yeah. So, and there was a lot of talk that Joe Dumars would take over the team, and be the GM of the team, but that never came to fruition. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
At some point we are going to learn, and by we, I mean Kings ownership is going to learn that circling back is not going to be the thing that helps. Going backwards and being like, it'll work this time, that's not going to be a thing. I say that because Vladdy's been around. We now hear Joe Dumars. I don't want anything to do with any of that. I don't want Michael Malone back. I want it. Nope. Circling back and retrying all this stuff is not the move. I need that to not happen.
Yeah, it's just odd.
Shout out to the Pelicans for saving the Kings from themselves.
Yeah. He was with the Kings from 2019 to 2022. Joe Dumars was. Mm. So I think that's...
So he left the year the Beam team happened?
22-23? Yeah, I guess so.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, got to get that guy back.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, the weird thing is he was the chief strategy officer for the Kings. He joined in June of 2019 to become a special advisor to the general manager and also an interim executive vice president of basketball ops. We never spoke to Joe Dumars once. Media did not. Like, to say, like, hey, hi, Joe, we said that. But outside of that, never once did he speak to the media.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so nuts.
And now it looks like he's going to the Pelicans.
Where he will likely have to speak to the media.
Yeah. There's been a lot of, like, little rumors here and there about who might come in, who might not, whether Monty McNair will be back or whether he won't.
It sounds like people are operating like McNair's gone.
Well, it's either McNair's gone or there's a partner for McNair. Because when you lose Wes Wilcox, you're going to need somebody who is that guy to this team. The guy who makes the phone calls, the guy who does all of that.
That's the GM's job.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for the general manager to do.
It's definitely a different situation than I've seen before.
Yeah. Yeah, do you want to know why?
Yeah.
Because it's insane.
Well.
Here's our general manager. He doesn't do anything. Talk to this other guy. Like, I'm sorry.
One man's insanity is what? Another man's Monday, Kyle.
No, one man's insanity is another man's 40-42 record.
That's right.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard, just real quick, to put a bow on this conversation. Since March 7th. So he came back in January. But since March 7th, when he's in the lineup, the Clippers are 15-2, and he's averaging 25.5 points, 7 boards, 3.5 assists, 2 steals, half a block, and he's shooting 52.8% from the field, 44.6% from 3, and 83.1% from the line.
Yeah, he's good.
Just a cyborg, dude. And the Clippers are dangerous.
And a plus defender.
And a very, very good defender.
Yes.
Clippers are scary. That was the point of my conversation.
They are scary. They might jump up some of the ranks. Although they just beat the Kings by one.
Yeah, I mean,
just saying.
The Kings by one needed overtime yesterday to beat Golden State.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Second hour coming up. We've talked a lot about the tiers in the West. I want to take a look at the East because the Eastern Conference playoffs, I think, can get a little interesting. But it feels strange, and I'll tell you why coming up. Plus, we got NFL draft coming up in like a week and a half. We just got to start diving into that as well. James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil's here. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's the Insiders on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.